foundation. First Baptist Denton has been asking my father to come preach for some time now. So if you're visiting with us, no, I'm not an employee of the church. I'm just a convenient option to call. But I do appreciate the opportunity to be able to stand in the pulpit of my home church. It's always an honor. It's always a reminder that I am nothing more than a very broken vessel. But hopefully, today, I think I have seen the Spirit of God move about this week and everything work together to really bring some good news, some gospel out of this moment and out of my sermon, out of my preaching. And I do hope that's what I'm going to do today is preach. Even through a broken vessel, you can hear God, Christ, and the Spirit speak. And the question I'm asking you today is, what are they among so many? What are they among so many? It's a question that's posed to Jesus by one of his disciples. And the only miracle story from Jesus' life that appears in all four Gospels. Think about that for a minute. All the Jesus stories we know, there's only one miracle story that appears in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Must be a pretty important story, right? Do y'all know the story? Anybody? Little boy's lunch. It is the feeding of the 5,000. It's not a little boy's lunch in every gospel, though. But it is the feeding of the 5,000. It is the one miracle story. It's funny how I came about preaching on this text. I was sitting in my office Monday with Ella Ray, my six, almost soon to be seven-year-old daughter. And I said, I have to preach. What should I preach on? And she said, you know, Daddy, I don't think people should throw trash in the ocean. I said, yes, environmentalism, taking care of God's creation. I don't know if that's where I'm feeling led this week. I don't know if that's where what the church is dealing with most right now. She said, well, do you have to tell one of those Bible stories? I said, well, I'd prefer to. Since I'm preaching, I'd like to tell a Bible story. She said, you know, I've always liked that one about Jesus feeding all them people. Well, I thought about it. I read the story. I let it breathe. I thought about it some more. I prayed. And I thought, kid's got a point. This story can really speak to us today. And maybe there's a phrase in here you haven't noticed. Maybe I can say something about it that maybe you haven't thought about, but I think this is a good story. And it is. It's the only miracle story in all four Gospels. Of course, the cross and resurrection are in all four Gospels. The Last Supper isn't. In John, it's a washing feet. Jesus' birth isn't even in all four Gospels. Things like walking on the water and turning water into wine, not in all four Gospels, but this one story. And I do prefer the way John tells the story, because in the Gospel of John, it's a young man, a child, even a little boy probably, that gives up his lunch in order for Jesus to perform this miracle. In the other Gospels, we're just told that the disciples somehow have come across five loaves and two fishes. But in John, let's just read the story. If you have your Bibles, or if you're like my Sunday school class, they never bring their Bibles to church, but they have their Bible apps. So if you see somebody on their phone right now, they're not paying attention. They're probably looking up the Bible on their Bible app. But if you have your Bibles or your Bible app, John chapter 6, verses 1 through 14. And this is what the text reads. After this, Jesus went to the other side of the Sea of Galilee, also called the Sea of Tiberias. A A large crowd kept following him because they saw the signs that he was doing for the sick. Jesus went up the mountain and sat down there with his disciples. Now the Passover, the festival of the Jews, was near. When he looked up and saw a large crowd coming towards him, Jesus said to Philip, "Where are we to buy bread for these people to eat?" He said this to test them, for he himself knew what he was going to do. Philip answered him, "6 months' wages would not buy enough bread for each of them to get a little." One of the disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, said to him, "There's a boy here who has 5 barley loaves and 2 fish. But what are they among so many people?" Jesus said, "Make the people sit down." Now there was a great deal of grass in the place, so they sat down, about 5,000 in all. Then Jesus took the loaves, and when he had given thanks, he distributed them to those who were seated, and so also the fish, as much as they wanted. When they were satisfied, he told his disciples, "Gather up the fragments left over so that nothing may be lost." So they gathered them up, and from the fragments of the 5 barley loaves left by those who had eaten, they filled 12 baskets. When the people saw the sign that he had done, they began to say, "This is indeed the prophet who is to come into the world." Word of God for the people of God. So Jesus was attracting large crowds. His teaching, especially his preaching, and especially his healing. In the Gospel of John, any miracle that Jesus does is portrayed as a sign that points to his identity as the Son of God, as the Messiah. And people see these signs and they want to be a part of it. Or maybe it's even more selfish than that. We are human. They were human after all. Maybe they see people being healed, and they think, "I want my loved one who's sick to be healed." And so crowds start to follow Jesus wherever they go. In my mind's eye, I can imagine Jesus and Philip kind of leaning back on, it says a mountain. I told my Sunday school class this morning, the area around Sea of Galilee, the topography is very similar to like High Rock Lake. It's more like a hill. But they're leaning back on a hill, and this huge crowd comes towards them. And Philip, I can just imagine, is like, "Oh boy." And then Jesus just kind of drops the mic on him when he says, "We're going to have to feed these people. Where are we going to get bread to eat?" And Philip probably thinks, "You are out of your mind." And so he even says, "Look, 6 months' worth of wages. I could work 6 months and not feed these people, even just a little bit for everybody." Now, John is a great storyteller, and so he's kind of setting Jesus up. He portrays him as testing the disciples. He says, Jesus knows what he's going to do. And the disciples aren't thinking in terms of miracles here. They're being realistic. Philip's already pointed out, they don't have enough money to feed these people. And Andrew, Peter's brother, he says, "Look, there's a boy who's willing to give us what he has, but all it is 5 loaves of bread and 2 little fish. Now, we say loaves of bread here, but we're not talking about, don't think Food Line here. This is not one of those long pieces of loaf bread. This is basically 5 pieces of flatbread and 2, more than likely, dried fish. And Andrew, not thinking in terms of miracles here, but being realistic, says, "What are they among so many people? What are they among so many? They aren't anything." Not thinking in terms of miracle, but being realistic, you got 5 stale pieces of bread. You got 2 smelly fish. What are you going to do with it? What are they among so many? It's a question that I find relevant to our world today. What are they among so many? It's a question that many of us may ask and we may feel and we may think. We may look at our world, at our community, at our town, and we may see a whole lot of problems. I see it every day. People in great need come into my office every day. Great need. And it can be overwhelming at times, and that's just dealing with cancer. Then I think about the children in our community. I think about the people who are hungry in our community. I think about the people who are homeless in our community, the families who are in great need, the people who may be on the fringes of society that we probably don't think about too often, the woman who was abused by her spouse, the man who can't make his house payments because his wife is sick. I think about the child who shows up to school and he's so hungry because the last time that child ate was at lunchtime yesterday at school. I see our nation more divided than ever. Economic issues, political issues, race issues, sexual orientation issues. If we can fight about it, well, by God, we're going to fight about it. Everything and everybody. Social media has turned us into an immediate reacting society that has the ability to put our unmarinated and non-nuanced thoughts out there for the world to see. I turn on the presidential debate, hoping to be uplifted. Let's talk problems. Let's talk solutions. But instead of being inspired or hearing something great, I'm taken to a schoolyard playground fight that is just juvenile and silly. So where are the problem solvers? Where are the statesmen? Where are the Christian social justice warriors? Where's the church? Where's the community? I look at the problems. I look at the resources. I compare the two, and I say, what are they among so many? And that's just looking at like the community's problems. Then I look at myself and, oh dear Lord, help me. What am I among so many? Am I good enough? Am I strong enough? Am I worthy enough? In this age of digital information, I get on Facebook and I see all these perfect families. They look so beautiful and so happy. And then I look at my life and I think, I'm really screwed up. People struggling with deep issues. Maybe you're out there today asking yourself this very question. What am I among so many? What are they among so many? It's what Philip thought when he saw that throng of people coming towards them on that hillside. I couldn't work 6 months and feed these people. Andrew thought it when looking at those 5 little pieces of bread and those 2 little fish. What are they among so many? But they forgot one thing. They had Jesus. And while they were thinking realistically, Jesus was thinking kingdomly and in terms of the kingdom of God's abundant blessings. Yes, Andrew and Philip were keeping it real. But sometimes, like my favorite comedian says, keeping it real can go wrong. Jesus was about to take a stark, realistic situation and turn it into a kingdomly blessing. And so Jesus takes that little bit of bread and he takes those 2 fish and he blesses it and he breaks it and something happens. I don't know, that's why they call it a miracle, but somehow, some way, it feeds everybody. The food just keeps on coming, enough to feed everyone with even 12 baskets left over. That's the power of Christ. And church, allow me to proclaim some gospel right now. Christ is risen. He is risen indeed, and he is still here, and he still has power. And don't you dare doubt it. It may be tempting to look at all of our problems and think they are insurmountable, to think we face the impossible. I can understand why the psalmist vented in what was read earlier by William. As long as there have been people, there have been problems. So I get it. The psalmist looks at the world and he cries out, have they all gone astray? Are they all perverse? There is no one who does good. No, not one. I get why he cries that out, but I'm telling you, if we are willing to give what we have, even if it's just a little bit, even if it's just that five loaves and those two fish from that little boy, if we're willing to give all that we have, then Christ can bless it and turn it into something more. I see it happen every day at cancer services. The smallest things make the biggest difference. You want to think realistic? You want to be realistic? You want to keep it real? We give $500 of financial assistance to people that walk through that door. And $500 ain't a drop in the bucket when it comes to paying for cancer. Josh Boyle, if I can't get an amen on that, I will never get one from you. $500 ain't jack. Let's be realistic. It's not going to make a difference, but I'm telling you, folks, it does. Because that's thinking realistically. Let me tell you what happens kingdomly. That $500 turns into something more. I've seen it happen. It turns into hope. All of a sudden, someone will realize that they're not alone, that people they don't even know care about them, that are praying for them, are helping them, and they have hope. And when they have hope, they can fight. So yeah, realistically, $500 may not be too much, but the risen Christ takes it and turns it into something kingdomly and an abundant blessing. It isn't just cancer, though. Shortly after I decided to preach on this text, I get a phone call from a board member of Cancer Services, Stacy Hilton Van Zandt. Many of you may know Stacy. She's, like I said, on our board. She runs the radio station, 1440 WLXN, Magic 99.9, in which we are being broadcast live from right now. Her mother and father were here last Sunday. If you don't know her, you probably know them, as we honored the life and legacy of Harold Bowen. One thing I said about Harold, it's the most important thing he taught me, was we can make this community a better place just by being ourselves and having fun while doing it, and you don't have to beat people over the head with it. Stacy's the same way. She wants to make this community a better place. She was interested in doing something for flooding victims down east and wanted to know if I'd heard any churches collecting materials. She wanted the radio station to do a drive, but wanted to know if anyone was already making a run. Realistically, we were thinking, you know, what can we do? There's a lot of need. We'll need to get it down east. Could we even collect a lot of items, get people to respond, get it down there in time? Would it even make a difference? Once again, thinking realistically. Well, we both call around, and the next day or so, you won't believe what we found out. Right over in Thomasville, right down the street, at the Mills Home location of Baptist Children's Home, which is, no matter what we think about the state of statewide Baptist life, that is a great, great ministry, and we always need to stand behind it. But right there at Mills Home, they have 50-plus residents and caregivers who were at the Kennedy Home in Kinston that flooded, and they have to be moved to Thomasville unexpectedly and hurriedly. And guess what? They need items like activity books, coloring books, colored pencils, crayons, new clothes of all sizes, bed sheets, pillows. We have flyers around the church because the radio station is now collecting these items over the next week. They've been broadcasting live tomorrow from Jerry Hunt, where you can drop the items off and get you a free hot dog. Now, that's going to do a lot of good. It was a few phone calls. Now we can get folks excited because we have a local connection. Now folks can see how they're helping and how it makes a difference. Something small has turned into an abundant blessing. But that wasn't me. That wasn't Stacy. It was the risen Christ. The risen Christ took someone wanting to help and blessed it and turned into an opportunity that's going to provide an abundant blessing for a lot of kids. I don't think it was coincidence that something told Ella Ray to tell me to preach on this passage. Every single day, things like this are happening. The risen Christ is alive and well, working good in our community. So if you are out there asking this morning, what am I among so many? What are they among so many? When you look at all the problems in the world, or you even look at yourself in your own life, and you may think, I'm messed up, nothing is right, everything is wrong, what am I among so many? You may be thinking realistically. But let me tell you, we have a Savior who isn't bound by the same realities that we face. We call a man who defeated death Lord. We believe in the Word become flesh and the risen Christ. So go ahead and ask, what are they among so many? What am I among so many? Well, know this, you are a child of God. And did you hear what William read earlier? You do not labor in vain. Stand firm. What are they among so many? What am I among so many? You are nothing less than a blessing in the hands of our risen Lord and Savior, just waiting to be used.
Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we come with gratitude to remember the blessings of our lives. We are so thankful for all the opportunities we have for abundant living. We praise you for gifts that we fully recognize are by your grace. We ask your forgiveness when we fail to share as we should. We know there are so many needs, and through our gifts, we have opportunities to become agents of your grace. We ask your blessings on the offerings we bring today. We are so grateful to be called the children of God. In the name of your Son, we pray. Amen.
doxology's a burst of praise. And so for a benediction, let us hear that doxology that William read earlier one more time, just to be reminded. Therefore, my dear brothers and sisters, stand firm. Let nothing move you. Always give yourselves fully to the work of the Lord, because you know that your labor in the Lord is not in vain.